That's on page 1026 of the Church Bibles. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
I'll do have that passage open in front of you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, if you've got a Bible within sight. About 15 years ago, I was out on a very wet day hike in a remote corner of the Scottish Hills. I tagged it onto the end of a business trip, which is why I was out on a day as foul as it was. Normally such conditions would defeat anyone, except possibly Gareth. The mist was down, it had been raining for days, I went up over my knees in mud, and I was so thoroughly soaked that I thought I wouldn't get any wetter if I walked out into a loch to wash some of the mud off. So that's what I did. Not surprisingly, in a full day's walk, I didn't see another soul. But what I did see was a sheep. Lots of sheep, but one in particular, which had managed to get itself stuck in a hole in the ground, just big enough to hold one large and very wet sheep. It was very obvious that this sheep wasn't going anywhere. It couldn't get out, and if I didn't get it out, it was going to die. No one else was going to come that way. It was as simple as that. It was utterly helpless. So I got down on the ground and I grabbed the sheep by its fleece and tried to haul it out. And it wouldn't come. It was too heavy. It was too saturated. The only way I could get the sheep out of that muddy hole was to climb down into the hole with the sheep, put my arms around it, and lift it out. And that's what I managed to do. According to the Bible, according to Jesus, we are all like that sheep. Like it or not, we are stuck in a hole. We are utterly helpless. And we desperately need to be rescued. This morning, Mission Sunday, in this short passage at the end of Matthew 9, that's the picture we begin with. A picture of hopelessness that is then transformed into hope. A picture of helpless sheep turns into a picture of a field ripe for harvest. So let's remind ourselves where we've come from, how we've got here. Over these last 3 months, in fact over 9 Sunday mornings, we've been working our way through chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's account of the life of Jesus. And if you have a Bible there, just glance through these two chapters with me. For the last time, for now. You can see there's a pattern at work here. A group of miracles that Jesus does is followed by a short chunk of teaching, and then the cycle repeats. So the first of these cycles takes us from chapter 8, verse 1 through to verse 22, and Jesus is teaching about the cost of following him. The second cycle, again, several miracles and some teaching, goes through to chapter 9, verse 17, and what Jesus says about the radical newness of his message and the life that he brings. And then the third and last of these cycles begins with the story of a little girl who dies and the woman who is sick, where Jesus heals the woman and raises the dead girl to life. And it continues with Jesus healing the blind men and the demonized man who couldn't speak. And it finishes up with this final teaching passage in verses 35 to 38. And remember, the running theme throughout these two chapters, which picks straight up from the Sermon on the Mount before them, is about Jesus' authority. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7, the crowd's verdict on Jesus is that he teaches with an authority they have never before encountered. Not like anyone they've heard before. Authority in his teaching. And in these chapters 8 to 9 that we've been looking at, his authority has been demonstrated in his power over sickness, his power over the realms of evil, the demons, and his power over the forces of nature. So his authority has not only been heard in what he said, it's been proved in action. And those who've seen it have had to face it and respond. And now we begin the move to a new phase of Jesus' ministry, where that authority is going to be multiplied. In chapter 10, Jesus will send his disciples out to do the work he's already been doing, and they will do it with his authority. So today's verses 35 to 38 conclude one section as they conclude this autumn series of ours, but they also lead into a new one, which we plan to look at next autumn, beginning with chapter 10. We'll come back to it then. But in this passage, the camera pans out from the single individuals and the specific locations that we've been exploring to give a panoramic overview of Jesus' activities. So let's look into the passage and see how hopelessness becomes a harvest. We begin with verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Here's the overview of what Jesus has been doing. An energetic, mobile, all-embracing ministry throughout the region of Galilee. In fact, this verse is very similar to what Matthew tells us just before the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 4, verse 23, we have this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So this whole section of Matthew, from chapter 5 to chapter 9, which we've been looking at in the last couple of years, since we began here at Village September 2010, that's what we began with, Matthew chapter 5, this whole section is bracketed, enclosed by these two summary statements about what Jesus is doing, about his ministry. His teaching, explaining how the Old Testament scriptures, the Jews read in their synagogues, point to him. And his healing, which will include driving out demons. Overall, demonstrating his authority in every area of human brokenness and suffering. These descriptions are comprehensive. Jesus can bring healing and wholeness to every human condition. That's the background. Now let's take it from here. As Jesus looks at all these people, what comes to his mind? What does he see? Well, first he sees that people are sheep. People are sheep. Verse 36, look at that. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In these months of public ministry, Jesus has seen a lot of crowds. People with every kind of need and every kind of attitude towards him have been thronging around him. And here is how he sees them. They are like sheep without a shepherd. What are sheep like? Well, as we know, they're not very clever. They're not great at looking after themselves. Like the sheep I found down that hole in the ground. It had a whole moorland to explore. It chose to explore this hole in the ground, which it couldn't get out of. Shift the location to the Israel of Jesus' day, and you have to add in the dangers of predators as well. There were wolves, lions, bears. Sheep are defenseless creatures. They need protection. So to say that people are like sheep without a shepherd means that they are highly vulnerable as well as likely to get lost because they're stupid. But there's a particular pointedness to this image that we might have missed, because sheep and shepherds is language used in the Old Testament to describe God's people. Listen to this from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. This is written by what the sovereign